Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Welcome. Welcome once again. Friends, no matter if you are the doctor, the patient, the jailer, the cross bearer, no matter the role, you have a purpose. And you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to help you inspire and equip you, to help you lead where you are. In other words, get you on cue with God's will, on cue when it's calling on our lives, and on get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's how Nehemiah, model transformational leader, led starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. In its essence, building a way of life. He CUE'd them up. C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why. U is to unify thought. What vision can we share is the what, and he's equally yoked. It's what's the game plan, what success look like, what's our role in it, and how we're gonna get there together. So Q leadership broadly integrate biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, get people to follow you in discipleship. And those two, trust and discipleship, is at the very axis of leadership. So as we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. So Lord, you are a powerful, loving, merciful God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and audience, all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and impacting and serving this generation through Q. So, Lord, your word says in 12 Romans 2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So, Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call and receive the call. Help us raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What to expect today, as always. During our time, we'd like to have a dialogue. Have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith and to tap into discipleship and building those two elements of the axis of leadership, and highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness. And our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light in truth and love. And it's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but to get at the root of the problem. And in essence, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today is within a day. Let's be open. And let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me, and we have the right questions. And no matter the differences, what they are, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinions at times, but let's do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And let's be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue, as we always do. So today we're entering our very important series at the beginning of our second year on Q Radio and our series of seasons. We find ourselves in different seasons of life, as Ecclesiastes 3 tells us to everything there's a season. There's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And no matter the situation, good times, bad times, tough times, we should always be on cue with God's purpose. We don't know what this new season will entail, but it is life, Lord gives us life spares, my mom would say, we ask for his coverage, his love, his grace, his mercy, and strength in this new season. We started this series, though, in Haggai 2, where the Lord had smote every word of his hands of his people with wind and mildew and hail because of the foul disobedience. It reads in verse 17, excuse me, I smote you with every work of your hand and blasted the wind and the mildew and hail, and you did not come back to me. Declares the Lord. Do consider this from this day onward. The 24th day of this ninth day in the temple of the Lord was founded. And consider Is the seed still in the barn, even including the wine, the fig trees? So after Israel disobeyed his warning, though, he assured them their future abundance, even because they decided to obey him. So regardless of your circumstances and whatever situation we're in, we have to consider the instruction, or in the verse 18, from this day onward. We have choices to make about our lives, our ministry, our children, our calling. But he also asked the question, is the seed still in the barn, even including in the fig trees and pomegranate and olives, and is not born fruit? Yet this day I will still bless you. Most important question there is that verse is verse 19. Is there still seed in the barn? And are we giving back to him? Are we sowing into him? Are we building a good foundation? Are we planting it on good soil for our ministries, for our lives, our family, our calling? We have to determine if we are either seed, sower, or soil as we go through. But in this season, reaping the harvest is not always about me or you. It's not about increase. It's not about getting our blessing. If we're in a harvest, it's not about one of things gathering for ourselves or gathering resources to build our own personal kingdoms, but rather in the season of harvest to gather a scattered people. We are divided in so many different ways, confused, angry, dying, fighting, finding fault, denying the Lord. As we look forward to this season, we can't help but look back, though, reminisce on the past, especially as we go through this season. I really appreciate you, everyone, listening in the break between some great football games going on, especially during this season. But don't worry, I'll spare you some stories of great football games of high school and college, but I'd rather take you back to some Sandlot games where we had some classic games. Everyone played no matter the number of people. If we had 12 people, we had a 6-on-6, but if we had 5, any odd number, we would play on that 2-on-2, and the fifth person would quarterback for both teams. No one was left out, no matter the situation, no matter the season, no matter the game that we're playing. But most of the time, we look for the odd number to ensure one of our childhood friends could at least participate in some form of fashion, or a quarterback for both teams, and get to snap. A childhood friend's name was Jerry Fountain, and I know some of his family sometimes listen to the show, but Jerry was a great athlete. He's quick, smart. He was a lightning rod for fun, but you know, he had sickle cell, and so did his sister Pam. He could not get out too hot, get too hot, sweat too much, get hit, or overexert himself. Couldn't run, wasn't supposed to run, but he did anyway. Swimming or nothing. He could not risk, but he was always determined to play. And we always had to try to protect him. No tackling, no hitting, no chasing, no going after Jerry, even though he wanted us to. Even on hot days, we, or even mostly his brothers, would not let him play and actually make him go home, because he always wanted to get on the field to play. On the days where he could not play, he would stand and watch. But the funniest thing to see, well, we're in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden you see a streak go across the field, and Jerry's jumped out there and picked off a pass and took it back for a touchdown. He's on nobody's team. It was just so funny. He to see him enough, he had courage and strength just to run that game and intercept the ball. It's just the funniest thing you ever want to see, and it makes me smile when I think about it. But one day he did that, he got overheated. We were scared. We drug him into the shade, fanned him with branches, hosed him with cool water, and come to find out he didn't take his medicine for that day because he decided that he was going to play. But some days he had some bad days, and his family even rushing to the emergency room or even called the ambulance, and he wasn't doing anything, just coming outside or just walking. He had some tough days. But most of the time on that next day, he was okay. He was back out trying to play, talking trash or trying to get in the game. He just had this warrior spirit about him that everybody loved. But one day when he was around 13, Jerry didn't come back out to play. In fact, he didn't come back home. He passed during that time, and can you imagine your 13-year-old kid passing if your sisters or if you're a sister or brother or even as a parent? It was sad around the neighborhood for a long time, and Jerry really dealt with that incurable disease, that constant pain, no energy, couldn't have fun, really the constant threat of death. And sickle cell is what he has, as I shared earlier. And it's a disease inherited from a blood disorder that affects these red blood cells. People with sickle cell have red blood cells that contain mostly, as I said, hemoglobin S, not a scientist, but you can look it up on Google, but it's an abnormal type of hemoglobin. Sometimes these red blood cells become sickle-shaped, like a crescent shape, and have difficulty passing through small blood vessels, which causes the pain. As we are in September, ending September, Sickle Cell Awareness Month, in the United States alone, there's 90 to 100,000 people who have it. Additionally, about 2 million people are carriers of this trait, but exhibits no symptoms and will allow them to pass from disease from the next generation. Even though it has been known and studied for over 100 years, there's no cure, and it lags behind similar diseases of both research and funding and media attention. These people suffer from sickle cell and have personal stories and courage and fear in living with the sickle cell disease, just like Jared, as well as his sister Pam, who also passed shortly after he did as we were kids. But imagine having this incurable disease. Imagine being in constant pain. Imagine being never having energy or even losing every job you've ever been a part of. Or imagine even dying on the table. And the doctor calling time on you. Our guest, Monique Savage McCall, not only can imagine that, but she's experienced it all too well because she has sickle cell. And so Monique, I call her a sickle cell warrior. I think she calls herself that, but she truly is. Spreading the word and sharing about this disease she lives with each and every day. She loves God, family, and serving, and she journeys to share her story, even on her daily blog that she'll talk about while we're on the air, and also to bring more awareness to this deadly disease. So, and she will share this personal journey of courage in dealing with this, and will she also help us answer a question of the day, if it wasn't for the blood. So, after the break, we'll bring on our special guest, Monique Savage McCall, the sickle cell warrior, and ask that question if it wasn't for the blood. So during the break, stay with us. Can't afford to miss this great story and testimony. Our number here is 310-861-2331. To ask a question, feel free to press 1 on your telephone. It raises your hand virtually, and Adora Kennedy can bring you into our conversation, ask a question, or make a comment. Friends, we'd love to hear from you, love you to participate. Our number again is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum, effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave what you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his calling on our lives, which is our purpose. So today's question of the day, sickle cell warrior, if it wasn't for the blood, helping us with that issue. So please call us at 310-861-2331. Or helping us with that is our special guest, Monique McCall, Savage McCall. She is a sickle cell warrior. She loves God, loves family, and loves serving and enjoying sharing her journey with her this incurable disease called sickle cell. And she also journeys to bring awareness to this deadly disease to all those she know and come by. So, Monique, thanks for stay for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a long time. I know most everyone knows you by Michelle, but you know it's tough for me to call you Michelle, but because I know Monique, right?
Exactly.
I know. I appreciate that. You know, why don't we just jump right in? You know, we always start the show with two questions, and the first one is, what is that one word that describes you?
I think the one that would describe me the most would be determined.
Determined.
Determined. Determined not to give up.
Not.
Exactly. Determined not to roll over and play dead. Determined to spread awareness to the people. Just determined to do my part. I'm just determined.
Yeah, determined to do your part like that. Determined to do your part. So with that, though, if money was no issue, this is always my second question. It may be trivial for you because you are doing it in a lot of cases. What would you do every day?
Well, what I would do is I have a desire to travel to the various cities and go into these big hospital settings and have seminars to educate the medical personnel on the best effective way to treat sickle cell patients as a whole.
Okay. So in order to travel to share, again, and educate from a personal perspective.
Yes.
All right. And so with that, though, you know, before we jump in, I want to ask you what stops you from doing it, which is kind of part of our story today. But let this audience kind of know a little bit more about you. Tell us about you, family, where you grew up, and kids and so forth, and just give them a peek under the hood, if you will.
Okay, well, I'm from a small town, rural in Greenville, Alabama. I am married, been with my husband for 11 years now. We have two adult children who are both college students. My stepdaughter is also in college, so we actually have three grown kids. I have a master's, two bachelor's, and I'm currently working on a PhD.
Wow. Dr. Monique.
Yes. In the near future. Yes.
Absolutely. You know, you shared with, you know, money was no issue about traveling and sharing and educating. You know, tell us about Sickle Cell Awareness Month and really why it's important to you, which leads into our subject of the day.
Well, Sickle Cell Awareness Month is every September, and for 30 days, medical personnel, sufferers of sickle cell, their caregivers, we spread awareness as much as possible. We have seminars. We do radiothons. On Facebook, we just flood our timelines with different types of facts about sickle cell. We do a lot of our meetings during Sickle Cell Awareness Month to pretty much try to teach us more on how to better reach the masses. I'm doing it daily through my blog, one-on-one, but during Sickle Cell Month, we really just come together as a community and just flood every arena that we can think of as far as media to you know, show that awareness and give sickle cell a voice.
Right. So tell us about your blog, though. You mentioned your blog. Tell us about that.
Yes. Since 2010, when I was deemed disabled, I've been doing a daily blog. And basically the blog is just a story of my daily life with sickle cell anemia. My ups and downs, how I'm feeling that day, what I'm going through. And I always try to put some tidbit of information on the blog about what sickle cell is and why it is that I'm going through what I'm going through and how it affects me.
Okay. So with that, though, what is sickle cell?
Okay, well, sickle cell is, like you said earlier, it's an inherited blood disorder. It's not something that you can catch like a common cold. It's not a sexually transmitted disease or something that you can catch. Sickle cell is something that you have to be born with. And in order to get the disease, both parents have to be carrier of the sickle trait.
Okay.
And so what sickle cell does, it causes anemia because the hemoglobin in the body is not, let me see, what's the word I'm looking for, malfunctioning. It doesn't work like it's supposed to. So therefore the cells become malformed and sickle-shaped or crescent-shaped, for a better word.
Right, right.
So it causes anemia. It causes early death in some cases, causes jaundice. Because of the anemia, you're tired all the time. Your joints continuously swell. You're very susceptible to infections because the your immune system is broken down because of the anemia.
Mm-hmm.
So we're prone to strokes, organ damage, and pain, lots and lots and lots of pain.
Right, right. And so you outline the symptoms and so forth. Are there different types of anemia, sickle cell?
There are. There is SS, which is the form of sickle cell that I have, which is the most severe form of all. And in order to have SS, both parents have to have the sickle gene.
Okay.
Okay, then you have SC, which is a milder form of sickle cell. It's not as painful, and you don't have as many of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's called sickle beta thalassemia, which is a combination of sickle cell and a disease called beta thalassemia.
Okay, beta thalassemia. So you have both of those.
I have both, but I have the full-blown disease of both, which is very rare. So my doctors refer to me as a double whammy because they've never seen someone with full-blown sickle cell, which is SS, and the full-blown beta thalassemia, which is referred to as Cooley's anemia.
Wow. Go ahead.
Usually it's a combination. You'll have sickle beta thalassemia, which would be a milder version of sickle cell.
Wow. So you have both full-blown. How many cases, how rare is that? I just want everyone to understand, how rare is that?
It is very rare. I think the last research I did is one in maybe every 10,000 cases of sickle cell, you would have someone with full-blown of both diseases at the same time.
One in every 10,000 cases,
Not in every one of 10,000 people, but one in every 10,000 cases of people that have sickle cell anemia.
Right. So if we were to how many of the people, one of what? Mm-hmm. Venture a guess.
I would say, well, I know people with sickle cell, it's like one in every 200 have the disease. So I would say less than 2% of the population would have beta thalassemia. Less than 2%.
Wow. That is absolutely rare. So when you part of this, we're going to go to the treatments in a second, but when was it discovered? It was a question I got earlier today from my mother-in-law when we were talking. When was it discovered that the disease affected most of people from Africa, India, Middle East, South and Central America, Caribbean, and the Mediterranean. Kind of like people of color in a sense. When was that discovered? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
1975, if I'm not mistaken, is basically
wow.
when they really started researching sickle cell anemia, because before 1974, testing was not really done. It was done, you know, if, okay, you ask for it. It wasn't anything mandatory like it is now. Now it's mandatory that African, Middle Eastern be tested at birth for sickle cell anemia. But when I was born, it was not, you know, something that was like they do immunizations.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that for a second. I was going to say that for later, but when you were born, of course, the studies didn't start in 1975, but you were somewhat misdiagnosed when you were a kid, right?
I was. I was diagnosed as having juvenile arthritis, which were the same symptoms of sickle cell anemia, because I had the pain and I had the swelling of the joints.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that I had juvenile, they diagnosed me with juvenile arthritis because the symptoms were so closely related.
Okay. And so you lived with that for how long, thinking it was juvenile arthritis?
18 years.
18 years.
18
Lord
years.
Had his hand on you, right? Not knowing
yes,
all of that.
Yes, he did. Yes,
you
he
know?
Did.
So during that time, though, you know, you had all these symptoms, though, right, that you experienced.
I did.
Swelling, enlarged organs, and so forth. And it really explains a lot. I can think back now watching you get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I can think back now, and now it really, really comes back. If we didn't know, we same hometown and rode the same bus, right, come to school. So,
yes.
But now I can see that even some of the experiences that I remember sharing with you. So how do you treat sickle cell?
There is no formal treatment or generalized treatment. We get IV fluids, and we're going to get oxygen, and we receive strong pain meds. And what they usually do, I call it, they just keep us sedated until the pain has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
they give us blood transfusions.
And blood transfusions.
And that's the only treatment we receive.
Only treatment we receive.
IV fluids, oxygen, pain meds, and a blood transfusion only if your red blood count is at a certain number.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want you to walk us through a day in the life of what you deal with each and every day. And not only from the pain and swelling, but then also the treatments, to your point of how to kind of keep you sedated in a sense till the pain subsides. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guest, Monique Savage McCall, who's a sickle cell warrior. We were answering the question of the day, if it wasn't for the blood. We're taking the calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 if you got any questions. For Monique, feel free to call us in and ask her, or even send it to us live into our log into our live chat room and on Blog Talk. We can take your questions or comments there as well. Friends, we would love to hear from you. Please call us again. The number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss,
not their parents, not their siblings, not their commanding officer. Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So today's question, we're talking to the sickle cell warrior, Monique Savage McCall, and answering the question of the day, if it wasn't for the blood. So feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 as we continue our dialogue with Monique. Monique, thanks for staying with us through the break. You know, right before the break, we were talking about treating and the symptoms and so forth. You know, before we go into we walk through the day in your life, tell us about, you know, the medical issues or career issues and some challenges that you've had along the way related to your condition.
Well, as far as medical issues, I've had so many till it would take the rest of this show to tell you all about those issues. I am fortunate enough, though, to still have my gallbladder. Most sickle cell patients that, you know, at my age of almost 40, lost their gallbladder a long time ago. And I think I still have mine because I'm holding on to the fact that I want to hold on to some part of me. I don't want everything taken away from me. I mean, I've had numerous operations because of infections and to the point where I've had to be put to sleep and my jaw has been cracked open in order to treat infections that are deep down under the surface that, you know, modern medicines per se, as far as antibiotics, couldn't treat because of the sickle cell anemia. I'm constantly, you know, going to the doctor once a month. There have been times where every 2 weeks I was being hospitalized due to a sickle cell pain crisis. My pregnancies were very hard because of the sickle cell. So, I mean, there's just been so many different medical issues that, you know, I could tell you about. As far as career, I really haven't been able to hold on to a job because, you know, once you get sick and you're out so much, they want to replace you because they need someone that they know can be there. And with sickle cell being such an unpredictable disease, you know, I can never predict when I will be able to be at work.
Right, right.
You know,
so it's
at some
pretty
point,
tough on
doctor,
you in different ways.
Yes. So many ways, yes.
So take us through a day, especially one of the days when you have a pain crisis. Talk about that. Walk us through your day.
Okay. First, we'll talk about days without the pain crisis. On days that I wake up, you know, naturally I'm going to have to take my medicines in order to function throughout the day. But on those days that I'm not having pain, I try to live as normal of a life as possible.
Okay.
As far as interacting with my kids and, like I said, I'm in school now, so I try to do my schoolwork, clean my home, grocery store, anything that a normal mother, per se, would do. On my good days, I do that because I never know when a bad day will hit me.
Right.
On those bad days, as far as pain crisis, there's nothing I can do because the pain is so, you know, unbearable that there's nothing that I can do but lay down and constantly take the medications and hope that the pain will soon end.
Okay. How long does it usually last, the pain?
Well, it's different. No two pain episodes are the same. They can last anywhere from hours, you know, a couple of hours. And there have been pain crises that I've had that have lasted 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So it's just really unpredictable because, you know, no two crises are the same.
So tell us about the pain. Where is it? And if you can describe it, well, how would you describe it?
I have a lot of pain in my joints. My joints swell real bad, my hands, my feet, my legs. I know you've had a toothache before, correct?
That's correct, right.
Imagine having a toothache so bad that you can't hold your head up off of a pillow, and someone takes your head, opens your mouth, and pours a gallon of ice-cold water directly into that tooth.
Okay.
That's what a pain crisis feels like to me. It's like somebody just taking ice water, pouring it into a bad toothache, or just taking 10,000 needles and just constantly stabbing me.
Wow.
Over and over and over again.
And that's all over your body.
That's all over.
Wow. Wow. That is something. So that's that constant pain. And so if you were to split percentage of your good days versus the bad, how would you split those up?
When I was younger, I would say growing up through high school, I would say up to the age of 28, I had 70% good days and 30% bad days.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would say I have 85% bad days and 15% good days.
Whoa, it flipped on you.
It flipped. The older you get, and that's the thing about sickle cell, with age, the disease gets worse with age.
Okay, disease gets worse with age.
Yes, because your body has gone through it for so many years till it's like your body starts breaking down. And
wow.
With all the medications, because we take strong narcotic medicines like Demerol, morphine, Dilaudid, and these are like on a daily basis at highly dosages.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, it starts to, you know, mess with your kidneys and your liver, your spleen, and it just starts.
So hence why you say that you're glad you still have your gallbladder, because you're starting to have to remove those? Is that because you've had all this medicine for so long?
Yes, and then my doctor has told me several times I need to have it removed, and my spleen also, but I just refuse to go up under the knife again.
Mm.
But I'm having that constant pain because there are days where you can see my spleen has enlarged so much that you can see my whole side swells.
Wow, wow. You know, so even you talked about your kids earlier. You know, how did you manage through two pregnancies? Through this process?
It was very hard. Very hard. Because I was told, first of all, that I was never supposed to have children.
Okay.
And that's what most sickle cell women with sickle cell are told, that they will never be able to have children. And if they do have children, then, you know, they will go through all these changes. It will be hard on your body, which it was. I wind up going into labor with my son, which is my oldest child, at 4 months. And every month after that, until I gave birth to him, I went into labor.
You went into labor starting at 4 months every month?
Every month. And they finally had to do a cesarean section.
Wow, that was tough. So that happened with your second son. So it was rougher, tougher on your second
Well, my second, with my daughter, it was harder because my body had already went through that 2 years before with my son. And so it was going through the same cycle again. And actually, with the birth of my daughter, it got to the point that after I delivered her, that's all I remember. I don't remember anything else. I remember my husband at that time, which is my ex-husband now, telling me that he had to sign papers approving a blood transfusion because I had lost three pints of blood. And they had to do a emergency blood transfusion or I would not have made it through that night.
Wow.
Because of a significant blood loss.
Wow. So was this the moment, I know you had one of those moments where it was the pain crisis where you actually flatlined. Was this the moment or it was the next episode?
No, this was not until 2005. I went in for a pain crisis, and I had already taken Oxycontin before I actually went to the emergency room. And being that I had taken all those strong medications, I wasn't alert enough to tell them what I had taken. So once they admitted me and gave me morphine, that was on top of the Oxycontin that I had already taken. So that stopped my heart.
Wow.
And I flatlined for 7 minutes. They tried everything that they could. Nothing worked. They stopped me 3 times. They did CPR. I mean, anything that they could think of to save my life, nothing worked.
Nothing worked for 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Wow.
But it was not until they were about to call my time of death that they called my doctor at that time. He told them what to do, and when they did it, my heart immediately started beating again.
Wow, so they had to reach out to your doctor who already knew.
They did. Yes, they had to reach out to him. And what he told them to do was to give me a certain medicine, and that medicine neutralized any medicine that was in my system. And when they did that, that brought me back.
Called a doctor in order for him to give advice on a neutralize.
Exactly. And that was actually the nurse that actually gave me the medication was the one that actually called my doctor. She didn't ask permission. She just called, for some reason, something told her to call my doctor. And she called my doctor, and he told her what to do. And like I explained to her, no, it wasn't something that told you. I said it was God that told you what to do.
Amen. Amen. He wasn't done with you yet.
No, he wasn't.
He was not done.
No, he wasn't. And that made me just want to push even more to not give up.
Yeah. Hence your word.
Yes.
Well, just like the nurse, she was determined to save you, so she took the extra step.
Yes.
Wow. How do people respond when you share this story? And I know the natural thing is to say, okay, what do you remember during those 7 minutes? How do you respond?
I don't remember anything, to be honest. I had to ask what happened because when I woke up, I just remember that my hospital room was full with all these people, and I'm looking around like, okay, what is going on? I'm like, why y'all all so sad and gloomy? I said, who died? And my sister Laverne said, you did. I'm like, no, I can't be dead because I'm laying right here talking to you all. So they had to tell me what happened because I remember nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. What a testimony. What a story. So, you know, through all of this, Monique, is that it causes you, you really can't plan anything, right?
No, I can't. I never can plan anything. And I used to do that, but then when the sickness would get to the point, okay, well, you can't do it, then it used to hurt me so bad because I'm like, okay, I promised these people that I could do this. But that's why I don't make promises to anybody because this disease is so predictable. Like right now, I'm sitting here talking to you now. Later on tonight, I could be going through a pain crisis.
Yeah. When I sent you a note this morning, I hadn't heard from you. I said, well, hopefully she's not having. I'm praying that you wasn't having, but I was glad to hear back from you. But it's got to be tough. I just wanted to share, get you to share that with those who are listening, because we all plan things. We all know what we're going to do the next day, or try to, as a mom said, we live Lord spare. But you can't. It's tough for you to do that. Important piece I want everyone to understand and not leave here with is that you are in a constant reminder of the certainty of death.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Because I think we all are, and we're just not constantly reminded of it because tomorrow's not promised to us, but you are on a constant reminder of that.
Yes. That is something that I have dealt with for years, okay? Is today going to be my last day? Is today going to be my last day? Because they've always put a time limit on us, okay, at the age of 5. Then they changed it, okay, to the age of 12. Then you're not going to live past the age of 25. Now it's, okay, they're living up to the age of 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I'm approaching age 40 in a couple of months, I'm like, okay, well, they're saying, you know, my life expectancy isn't for 40 to 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to get out of that mindset saying, okay, well, that's what man says, that we're not supposed to live past this age. But God has proven them wrong every time about the age and life expectancy of a sickle patient, because they keep changing it. They keep changing it, and it keeps adding, and they keep adding. So, you know, I just say to myself, you know, God is in control. When he's ready for me, he'll take me. So I have to get out of the mind frame of, okay, this disease can take me out at any time. Because if I constantly think about that, I can't enjoy the time that I do have.
Right.
Wondering when I'm going to die.
Especially on your good days.
Exactly. Especially on the good days.
You're having less and less of those, and as you grow older, but you know what? You know what you need to ask them to do some research study and say, okay, add another year, so we're going to 75 and 100. At that point, there seems to be a correlation right now, right?
Exactly. That is the problem now. The funding for sickle cell, we had $20 million. We used to have $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it was put in the national budget for $10 million. Now they have taken funding out for sickle cell altogether. We have no place in the budget anymore. There is no funding, no federal funding at all for sickle cell.
Wow, so that just recently happened? So
yes,
no federal funding?
That happened this year, and we have a petition that we have going around that's going to end in a couple of days. We're petitioning President Obama to add funding for sickle cell back into the general budget.
So that's really the main funding of research and studies around sickle cell?
Yes.
Wow. Didn't know. So how do people find about the petition? Is it on some website somewhere or something you can send to me? I can post that as well?
Yes, I will. I will email that link to you.
Okay.
Or I will post it on the page.
Sure. We can do that while we've got everyone listening. But, you know, you've shared a lot, but let's take a pause, right, for a second. If it wasn't for your blood, you wouldn't be under constant pain, a constant need of drugs, you know, constant need of new blood, right? Constant need of certainty of death. You could do more. You could go and facilitate and talk to hospital administrators and caregivers about how to treat patients. How have you stood a post in all these trials, your 40 years of dealing with what you've done dealing with?
God. That's all I can say. It's his strength and his mercy and his grace that just keeps me pushing, because if I had to stand and do it on my own, I would have been gave up. I couldn't do it. I give all that credit to God, because without him, I wouldn't be, we wouldn't be doing this show. Let's just keep it, let's just put it like that, because, you know, there have been many, many, many times that I have just wanted to give up, because when a person is constantly in pain daily, even though some days are better than others, you know, you say, okay, you want to question it. Why me? But I've learned not to question God, because out of all that I've been through, this is my testimony. And like they say, you can't have a testimony without a test. So this is just my life test. And so I know that God is really, you know, favoring me, I'll put it like, because a lot of sickle cell patients haven't made it to be the age that I am. And mm-hmm. and every day I'm seeing in these groups that another, you know, warrior has passed on, another sickle cell warrior has passed on. And a lot of them are nowhere near my age. They're young kids or they're in their teens. And so I just accredit my still being here to God.
Wow. You know, and that's what keep you fighting determined into this fight, being a warrior at the end
yes.
of the day, in order exactly. to continue to share. You know, Lord's grace, but what's also driving it for you? What drives you each and every day?
My children and my husband. I don't think it would be fair for me just to give up on them. You know, it sounds strange, but they count on me for a lot. Even with the condition that I'm in, they still look at me as being the strong person because I haven't given up. So they draw their strength from me. If Mama can, you know, live a life of constant pain and, you know, she's having to go through this and that and constantly at the doctors or at the ER or, you know, what the things that I'm going through are, you know, meanier compared to that. So I just push myself, you know, to be an example for my children, not to give up. They
you
are
know,
my motivation.
That notion is for all of us. Me, my kids, everyone who's not under this constant threat of death or pain. We all under it, but it's not in our face each and every day. If you
mm-hmm.
can travel through it, journey through it, toil through it, why couldn't we toil through things that even if things are small compared to what you deal with?
Exactly. And that's what I try to get people to see. You know, you have to realize nothing is too hard for God. If he can sustain me, he can sustain you also. You just have to have that faith. And you have to just trust and you have to believe. And through this all, I mean, I have faith because if it wasn't for my faith, like I said, I would have gave up a long time ago, Eric. We're just going to be honest about it. And a lot of people can't handle the things that, you know, I have to deal with on a daily basis.
And it all goes down to your faith. And
it all goes down to faith.
Wow. You know, as we're talking about blood, but, you know, you got it. We got to go there, and I want you to take the audience there. How important is it for us to know what the blood of Christ have done for us, done for you, strengthen your faith, help you deal with what you're dealing with?
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for his blood, I would not be here. You know, because of the blood that I have that's pumping through my veins, it's like a poison to me. So just trying to survive off of my blood, I can't do it. I have to stay covered under his blood each and every day. And every morning that I get up, Lord, cover me with your blood. Lord, cover me with your blood. Lord, cover me with your blood. In the midst of everything that I'm going through, whether it be medical or, you know, whatever the situation may be, it's under the blood, Lord. It's under the blood. Just keep me under your blood. Sustain me because his blood is what's keeping me going. Because my favorite passage of scripture, I'm just going to summarize it. By his stripes, I am healed. And I hold on to that.
Yep.
If it never manifests in the natural, in my mind, it has already occurred. By his
yep.
stripes, I am healed.
By his stripes, I am healed.
Because it's under the blood.
In the blood.
And so that's the best place for it to be, under the blood.
So it's cleansing, redeeming,
yes.
Reconciling, restoring for you. So many different ways for all of us.
Yes. Because the way I see it, he is my father. So for him to be my father, that means his blood has to be in my veins. So that's how I look at it. His blood covers me. It sustains me.
Sustains you. Covers you.
Yes. Yes.
So with that, we're going to take a break, Monique. And we got some questions coming in. We'll pick those up after the break. We'll continue our dialogue, friends, with our special guest, Monique Savage McCall, who is, if you haven't heard it, she is a true sickle cell warrior. And our question of the day, if it wasn't for the blood. So stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to ask the question and make it a comment. Press 1 on your telephone. We'd love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So we're talking to the sickle cell warrior, friend Monique Savage McCall. If you haven't heard it, she has one testimony that you know you will never forget hearing it. She loves God, loves family, she loves serving. She journeys to tell her story about her blood disorder, sickle cell, and it is worth hearing, especially as we know what sustains her during all this tough time. So, Monique, thanks for staying with us along the way.
You're welcome.
You know, we've got a couple questions, and I'm going to take you back for a second, but we're going to pick up a dialogue after that. But one question is, actually it's a two-part question. If both parents have the sickle cell trait, what percentage would they pass on to their kids? What percentage of those will pass it on to the kids? And two, if they have two or more kids, how many kids stand a chance of getting the trait?
Okay. For the first part of that question, if both parents have the sickle cell trait, there is a 90% chance that their child will have sickle cell disease.
Wow, 90%.
90% they will have sickle cell disease. And the second part of that question, as far as how many kids, if they have more than one, all the kids stand a chance of having sickle cell anemia. I have friends that have two kids, and both of their kids have the sickle cell disease.
Both of the kids have it, sickle cell disease. Wow.
And so a mother can give birth to two or more kids, and all of them can have that sickle cell disease.
Sure, sure. So how many of your siblings have the trait or even have the disease? I probably should have asked that.
None.
Okay.
I'm only one. Now,
only one.
I have sisters that have beta thalassemia,
okay,
but they do not have sickle cell, but they
okay
do have beta thalassemia.
And that's the Cooley anemia that you spoke of earlier.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Were they also misdiagnosed before, or is something you kind of someone already knew?
No, they just actually found out within the last 2 years that that they had the thalassemia.
Wow.
Because
wow,
they had just it didn't manifest until, you know, they were up in age. And so now, like I said, within the last 2 years, both of them just recently found out about the beta thalassemia.
Yep. You know, when I listened to you and I asked you to give me some background earlier this week, and I read your story, and the word that I came up with, to determine, but the word I came up with was nevertheless.
Okay.
Right? You
mm-hmm.
you may not claim it, you're a warrior, but you know you've gone through these things. You have the disease. Not only have the disease, but you're a smaller part of the population who have both Cooley and as well as sickle cell, constant pain. Live beyond the years, as opposed to multiple challenges, personal, financial, career, but it's still just nevertheless, and it corresponds really well with your one word of being determined. It just hadn't stopped. If it's with your daily blog or even starting a business, talk about some things that people will be surprised that you're still trying to do rather than let the pain own you.
I am still trying to go to school. I know they say, okay, you have all these degrees, but yet, you know, you aren't using any of them because of the disease. So why go back to school to get another degree that you're not going to use? Because I'm determined, and this goes with this, to open a transition home for women who are recently released from prison, nonviolent women, to help them transition back into society. And the best way that I can do that is to go back and get that doctorate degree so that I can handle everything in-house instead of having to, you know, bring people in from the outside.
Right. Right.
Which is another business, you know, on top of the ones that I'm already trying to keep afloat.
Okay, so talk about those that you're trying to keep afloat. You started a business recently, and as well as partnering with on some business as well.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I have a event business. I do wedding planning and different types of party planning. My husband is a DJ, so we have that business. And then also I have a Christian gift store.
Okay.
My sister and I recently partnered together. We're going to start doing photography. We're going to be doing graphic designing as far as like T-shirts or anything, you know, signs that you want to have made. What else am I doing? I think that's it.
Okay. Is essentially, again, nevertheless, right?
Nevertheless.
And your daily blog, each and every day, I think I've got a post of that on our site, but we can follow you every day in your daily blog as well, right?
Yes. There are days that, you know, I can't go on because, you know, I may be dealing with a medical issue, but I do my best to keep it updated. And it's just a look into my journey. And that's what I have on the site, which is my journey journal. And if you click on the link, Journey Journal, it will give you what's going on with me each day, how I'm feeling, what I'm going through. I give updates about my doctor's appointments, what the doctor is saying, anything new, any type of new developments within the sickle cell community. That's what I'm doing. And that's the main reason why I have this blog, is to educate others, because my husband didn't even know what sickle cell disease was until he met me. And that motivated him to learn more. But I've run into so many people that have never even heard of sickle cell disease or what it is.
Wow. It'd been great when we had the ice bucket for the sickle cell, right?
Yeah, everybody but a sickle cell patient can do it. The reason why we can't participate in a challenge like that is because that ice would shock our nerves and send us straight into a sickle pain crisis.
You know, I walked right into that one and didn't realize that, but, you know, that is something that we need to be aware of. Well, I guess from a mint perspective, kind of share the awareness, because it really kind of blew up from the perspective of showing what that disease was all about, and as well as raising money, $80 million in 4 months, actually a few years budget, just from that perspective.
But we do have a challenge. It's called Bold Lips for Sickle Cell, and men and women can participate in the challenge. And what the challenge does is you put on your boldest lipstick, lip gloss, and you take a picture and use the hashtag Bold Lips for Sickle Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to, once you post your picture, you also post a fact about sickle cell and donate to the Sickle Cell Foundation.
Okay, so it says Bowling for Sickle Cell.
Yeah, Bold Lips, B-O-L-D,
okay.
L-I-P-S, Bold Lips for Sickle Cell.
Oh, got it, Bold Lip for Sickle Cell. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. And so you heard it, friends. If you can do that, that you also put in a fact about sickle cell. They can find facts on, you have a website somewhere from the Sickle Cell Foundation, I believe, right?
Yes. There's many sites. You can just Google sickle cell disease, or you can Google Bold Lips for Sickle Cell, and it'll give you all the information that you need.
Sure. So all of these things, what can people do to support more?
The best thing that they can do is become aware.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness is the key, because if you know how to prevent something, then you won't do it. That's just like fire. If you know that fire is going to burn you, you won't do it. So my thing is, I tell people all the time, get tested. If you're going to have children, get tested. It's a simple blood test, the prick of a finger.
Mm-hmm.
They run a test, and it will tell you, you know, if you have that sickle trait. And most people say, well, I'm not going to go through all that, you know, with the person that I'm with, you know, just to keep from having a child that may or may not have sickle cell. That's the best 5 minutes that you can spend to keep a child from having a lifetime of constant pain and medical issues. All it takes is 5 minutes.
Which
one is more important? You not, you know, wanting to go in and sit in the office to you know, have a blood test done, or would you rather sit up all night with a crying, screaming child, you know, because of their pain? I say the 5 minutes.
Wow. And save some kids from pain. But, you know, how is it, though, would someone make that decision, even though you may have it, but you still want to have children? So do medical professionals recommend people not to have kids when they have the trait? Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, not necessarily the trait. If you go in and you have the trait, because 9 times out of 10 you don't ever have problems with the trait except for, you know, the anemia.
Sure.
They tell those of us that have the disease to not have children, because even if my husband does not have the trait, because I have the disease, I can pass that disease on to my child.
Got it. Okay.
So they tell you, you know, be careful. It's quote unquote in so many terms is what they're saying. You know, if you're going to do it, then, you know, it's a 50-50 chance, yes or no.
Right. So what didn't I ask and I should have asked? Something on your heart, that something we kind of missed over and want to go back and kind of share with our listeners?
No, I think that we pretty much covered everything. The thing that I would say mostly to people is not to judge a book by its cover. You know, I've heard so many people say, you don't look sick. What does sick look like?
Right.
I've never seen in a book what sick looks like, because I don't walk around, you know, acting like I'm all broke down and woe is me and, you know, I'm not all dried up or humped over. Doesn't mean that I'm not dealing with an issue.
Right.
And, you know, so many people, you know, have so many different misconceptions about sickle cell. So, and that's why I say the best thing to do is to gain knowledge. And even with the medical profession, I've had doctors where I've been their first and only sickle cell patient, and they've had to learn from me because they didn't know anything about sickle cell.
Wow.
So the first thing I want to do is just throw you in the hospital, you know. Okay, I don't always have to go in the hospital when I'm having a pain crisis. A lot of times I may need to be there, but I'll fight tooth and nail not to be there, because I'm the type of person, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. My disease is a blessing and a curse all in the same, but I look at more as a blessing because I can teach other people how to continuously go in the face of adversity.
Right. It goes back to the notion of making your misery your ministry.
Exactly. This test is my testimony. That's how I look at it. And, you know, they look at us like, okay, well, you're on all these strong medications. And so many times we go to the emergency room, the first thing they're looking at in your chart, okay, how many times has she been here? What type of medications, you know, have we given her? And a lot of times we get the label of drug seeker.
Really?
Because the pain is so unbearable at times that maybe the first 3 doses of morphine may not work for a patient, because they waited too long to come to the emergency room. So it may take 3 or 4 doses before the medicine will actually, you know, start working on their pain. But they're looking, okay, well, you just had 4 milligrams of morphine, or you just had 10 milligrams of Dilaudid. There's no way that you should still be feeling this pain. But we do, and that's what people don't understand, that this is not headache pain. This is a deep down in the bone type of pain.
Wow. In the marrow in itself.
Yes. I mean, it does that. It's just like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like constant. It never lets up.
Never lets up.
It never lets up. I am in pain every day of my life. There is never a time that I'm not in pain, but there are times when the pain is more bearable than other times. It's not as bad as other times. Every day in years. I would say since 2003, I don't remember having a pain-free day. Even on my wedding day, 2 days later, I wind up in the hospital because of the stress from just trying to get married.
So let's play that back. Since 2003, not a day.
Not a pain-free day.
Well, that's tough.
And I remember that's because I moved back home. I moved to Montgomery, Alabama from Mobile in 2003, and I haven't had a pain-free day since I've come back.
Just a question for you. Considering all the pain and so forth, is there a high rate, is there a rate of suicide among patients with sickle cell, considering all this pain?
It's not outright suicide where I'm going to take a bunch of pills and just end it. It's more I'm going to stop taking the medications. Stop taking medications, there's organ failure. And that's what people don't understand. You don't die from the sickle cell. You die from the complications of the sickle cell. And most people, they get to the point where they just get tired and just stop taking the medication, stop going to the doctor's appointments, stop doing everything that they know they're supposed to do, and they just give up. So it's not outright suicide, but in a way, it's suicide.
Right. Just get tired and stop. It's kind of like, if you know, outside of the physical problems, the problems that we deal with each and every day. There's folks, if it's from financial or whatever, it's still a problem or a challenge. But hearing your story today about the physical element too, just more people need to hear that, how to sustain. And it goes right back to faith, right? Goes right back to it.
Yes, because, I mean, it's psychological. We deal not only, you know, physically, but psychologically. And it does something to you to constantly have to go through these issues. And, you know, okay, prime example, 2 years ago, day before Christmas, we had a family get together for Christmas at my sister's house. That same night, I wind up being admitted into the hospital. So I spent Christmases, New Year's, all kind of holidays, Thanksgiving, in the hospital.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing that the strength that I hear in your voice and in your testimony. What can we be in prayer with you about, Monique?
Not just for me, but just pray for the sickle cell community as a whole. You know, that we would get the funding that we need, that God would just continue to just keep us and bless us. You know, just give us that strength and that mind to just continue on. Because I'm not just about me. I'm about the sickle cell community as a whole.
Yeah. How are you serving somebody else? Right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Well, so with our last little bit, you know, how do people find you, website, Facebook, events, and so forth? Can you share a little bit more? You shared a few things earlier, but just to kind of give the audience a recap of how to find you and how to continue to support the sickle cell community.
Okay, well, they can find me on Facebook under Michelle Savage McCall, or they can tune in daily to my blog. And the address for that is www.shellbelle.wix.com/Michelle's blog.
Michelle's blog.
And I will also put that link onto the Q Leadership page.
Awesome. That's great. Well, you know, we've been blessed to have you.
I thank you for thinking enough of me to give me time to share my voice.
Yes, your testimony, it is full of determination, full of faith, full of what we're, you know, trying to answer the question, if it wasn't for the blood, you know, you could do these certain things, but because of it, you stay encouraged, you stay determined, you stay faithful. It's such a powerful story, such a powerful story. And to your credit of asking, you're the first, what we can be in prayer with you about, you're the first deferred it to somebody else rather than yourself, and that just tells a lot about you and what you're going through. So we're just thinking, we're going to continue to be in prayer with you and as well as the Sixth community, and we'll virtually agree on that.
Thank you.
Well, that's Monique Savage McCall. She is a sickle cell warrior. If you didn't know one, she is one. And if you get a chance, just chiming in, feel free to go back and listen to the whole broadcast. It'll be ready about 2 or 3 minutes after we're done. And we're answering that question. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to close out. This is On Cue. I'm Eric Powell, and we'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. Help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with our purpose. We just had a sickle cell warrior, Monique Savage McCall, answering the question, if it wasn't for the blood. Only thing I can say, I know I scribbled the word nevertheless, but just humble right now of all the things you deal with each and every day in life. But listen to her testimony, you just got to think, you know, what do we have to complain about? And know we all go through challenges, but to go through the challenges we have and also from a physical perspective and having a pain-free life is something we take for granted. And she's on this constant threat of death each and every day. So She has this incurable disease, in constant pain, lacking energy, losing jobs, dying on the hospital table, doctor calling time. She can't imagine she experienced it, you know. What we should not miss is that people like Monique understand the certainty of death that the rest of us sometimes take for granted. She's a constant reminder of that death. And I believe what Apostle Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians, when he was talking about grace, and he said, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of revelations, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, and it should leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will not boast in all, be more glad in my weakness, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, calamities. For which I am weak, then I am strong.'" The Lord's power is made perfect in Monique's weakness, your weakness, my weakness, everyone's weakness. We have an infinite amount of grace, and not understanding, accepting, and tapping into that infinite amount of grace is sometimes keeps us from being a sickle cell warrior, from being a cancer warrior, from being a jobless warrior, from being a homeless warrior, and any other type of warrior that's against what, as Paul shares, our weaknesses, our insults, our hardships, persecution, and calamities. No fleshly transfusion of self or worldly advice or philosophy of blood's going to save us. These things that may save our lives for a period of time, Monique shared that periodically blood transfusions saves her life, but she's also the first to tell you that eternal transfusion of blood of Jesus saves her soul and keeps her going and keeps us determined. There's no doubt that Christ's shedding of his blood is one of the most significant, if not the most significant moments, events, or testimonies in the world of history in itself. It was foretold in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for his transgressions. He was bruised and for his iniquities and chastised for our peace upon him, and with his stripes were healed. You heard Monique reference that. It's God delivering us through a substitution. Jesus took the wrath of God that we deserve and to pour out on us. And in death, which Jesus died, Monique's death, your death, my death, all our deaths, he bore the sins of the world so that we may not die. He was a substitute. He paid it. So Christ was a sin warrior on the cross. Jesus was a love warrior on the cross. He was a grace warrior on the cross. And also a peace warrior on the cross. And he was a healing warrior on the cross. If it wasn't for the blood, which is our question of the day, our indebtedness wouldn't be gone. If it wasn't for the blood, we would not be entirely acquitted and free from all sins. If it wasn't for the blood, we would not have access to eternal life and would not be saved. If it wasn't for the blood, we would not be redeemed. If we would not have our sins forgiven and canceled. If it wasn't for the blood, we would not be justified and not reconciled to God. If it wasn't for the blood, we would have no favor or have no interest in heaven, have no access to eternal life. And if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, we would have no everlasting eternal covenant and have no communion and fellowship with God, and essentially also have no peace with God himself. But by the blood, Monique shared, we are cleansed, we have the power in the blood, we have new clothes, we are sanctified, we're made holy, we can enter God's presence in holiness, we have that heavenly joy, and we defeat pain, defeat sickness, we defeat Satan, defeat circumstances and situations, and even defeat sickle cell, as Monique continues to do each and every day. You see, her blood transfusions is dealing with the finite lines, the finite times that we live with. But Christ's blood transfusion is for eternity, not for finite space, but it's for infinity. Transfuse some Christ into our situations, into our circumstances, into our weariness, into our lives, into our homes, into our kids. And if you do, that grace will roll down like waters, and that peace be like a mighty stream. You will arm yourself to be a warrior, to lead in that purpose for this season like this, and this season of time and challenges of people like Monique go through each and every day where it's time to serve. And as we end our season series Let's commit to be a warrior in these new seasons from this day onward. And abide in Christ, and he will abide in you, and you in him. The invitation to come to drink is free, and because of the blood. Be a warrior in his new birth, to bring these dormant purposes that we have in our lives to life. And because tomorrow is not promised to us, my friends, death is certain, but the blood is our grace for them in this time, and was always on that constant threat, because this could be the last time we see our loved ones, but we have to be ready. So in this season, get on cue with God's will, on cue in a call in our lives, and get it on cue with get others on cue with that calling. And we thank you for joining us tonight. Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we thank our special guest, the sickle cell warrior, Monique Savage McCall. We thank you for joining us in our second year. We hope that our ministry helps us get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. And invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at oncue@cueleadership.com. We give all honor and praise to the living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend and wife, my mother, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to Demario Harris, a young football player kid who collapsed this week at Charles Henderson High School in Troy. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Let us help you get on cue.